Hey everyone, welcome to our deep dive today. We're going deep into something that hits close to home for a lot of people, especially in the Sarasota area, finding the right treatment for depression. And you know, we're not just skimming the surface here. You want to know how and why things work and what truly makes a difference. So that's our mission today, to really dig into that and to give you the info you need to take charge of your well-being. You know, one thing that really hit me while I was prepping for this was a stat that kind of blew me away. 17.3 million adults in the US have experienced a major depressive episode. That's a huge number. But here's the flip side. Depression is often very treatable. So that's the good news. And that's where our journey today begins. To give you a glimpse of what's possible, we're also going to hear directly from people right here in Sarasota who found their way to recovery. They talk about things like rediscovering themselves and building those coping mechanisms they needed. It's super inspiring stuff. But before we get too far ahead, let's lay some groundwork. What is depression exactly? I mean, beyond just feeling down, it's more complex than that.
It really is. Depression isn't just sadness. It's a mood disorder that affects your whole being, mind and body. The emotional signs are what we usually think of first, like that persistent sadness, the feeling of hopelessness, you know, losing interest in things that you used to love. But it goes deeper than that. There are physical symptoms too, like fatigue that just won't quit, changes in your sleep patterns, appetite fluctuations. It affects your whole system.
So it's not something you can just snap out of. That's kind of where the stigma comes in.
Right.
People thinking it's a weakness or it's.
Exactly. And that's such a harmful misconception because depression actually has roots in multiple factors. It's your genes, the intricate chemistry of your brain, and the life experiences you've been through. It's this complex interplay. And understanding that helps us see why seeking treatment isn't a sign of weakness, but a step towards taking back your well-being.
Okay, so we've busted that myth. But that 17 million number you mentioned, it tells us so many people are affected. It's not just why you going through this. So let's shift gears a bit and start exploring what's actually out there for you in Sarasota. Think of it like we're taking a tour of treatment options. First, stop counseling. Now, counseling can be kind of a broad term, you know. What really got me thinking was how different approaches actually aim for different results. Have you heard of cognitive behavioral therapy or CBT? It's all about targeting those negative thought patterns we all get stuck in.
Right, CBT is really practical. It's not just lying on a couch and talking about your feelings. It's more about learning how to identify and challenge those unhelpful thoughts that fuel depression. Things like black and white thinking, catastrophizing, or always feeling like you're not good enough.
So you're actually rewiring your thought process, not just reacting emotionally. That's fascinating. Now, how's that different from something like interpersonal therapy or IPT?
IPT takes a different angle. It focuses more on the relationships in your life and how you communicate within them. The idea is that if you can improve your interpersonal skills and address conflicts, you can reduce stress and boost your overall mood.
So CBT is more about the internal world, and ITT is more about how you interact with the external world, both crucial in their own ways. This is making me wonder about the role of medication. Is that more about the internal, like the brain chemistry you mentioned?
Medication definitely addresses that biological side of depression. But it's important to be realistic here. It's not a quick fix. It's more about working with a psychiatrist to find medications that help balance those brain chemicals that influence mood. Think of it like fine-tuning a really complex system.
So it's not just popping a pill and everything's magically better. It's more personalized than people realize.
Right. Absolutely. It's not one size fits all. It takes time, patience, and open communication with your doctor to find the right fit for you. And that brings up something I find really empowering. You know, there's a lot you can do alongside therapy and medication. It's like taking control of your well-being from multiple angles.
Okay, I'm totally intrigued now. Tell me more.
Well, think about lifestyle changes. Things like regular exercise, eating a balanced diet, and getting enough sleep. They might sound basic, but they have a huge impact on your brain chemistry and how you feel.
So it's more than just eat your veggies, it's good for you. It's actually changing how your brain works.
Exactly. When you exercise, your body releases endorphins. Those are natural mood boosters. And a balanced diet provides your brain with the nutrients it needs to function properly, like omega-3 fatty acids, complex carbohydrates. It's all fuel for that mental engine.
Wow, I never thought of it like that. And sleep, we all know how cranky we get when we're sleep deprived. But what's the science behind that?
Well, sleep is when your brain gets to clean house, process emotions, and recharge. Chronic sleep deprivation throws all of that out of whack, making you more vulnerable to those negative thought patterns we talked about earlier. It's like running on an empty tank.
Wow, so it's not just about feeling groggy, it's literally making it harder to manage depression. Okay, so much to think about already. But before we go too far down this road, Let's make a stop at another important resource in Sarasota. Support groups. What role do they play in this whole picture? It's more than just venting, right?
Support groups offer something really powerful. That feeling of connection and shared experience. Depression can isolate you, make you feel like no one understands. But in a group setting, you realize you're not alone, and a lot of groups are actually run by professionals, giving you a chance to learn coping strategies from others, A&D, from experts.
So it's a mix of emotional support, A&D practical tools. That makes a lot of sense. But now I'm wondering, with all these options on our tour, counseling, medication, lifestyle changes, support groups, how do you even begin to choose what's right for you? That's got to feel overwhelming.
Yeah, it can feel like a lot to take in. But remember, you don't have to figure this out all on your own. Think of it like starting a new workout routine. You might try different classes, different trainers, you know, until you find what clicks for you and your goals, finding the right depression treatment. It's kind of like that.
Okay, I like that analogy. So where do you even start this exploration phase? What are some practical steps people can take?
Well, a good place to start is actually by tapping into your network, your primary care doctor.
Yeah.
They can often be a great starting point. They can provide referrals to therapists or psychiatrists right here in Sarasota who specialize in depression treatment.
That's a good point. Sometimes we forget about those resources that are already available to us. It's easy to get lost in that online search rabbit hole.
Oh, definitely. And don't underestimate the power of personal recommendations. Mm-hmm. Talk to friends, family members, even support groups. They might have firsthand experience with providers in Sarasota and offer insights that go way beyond online reviews.
It's like getting the inside scoop. And speaking of online reviews, they can be helpful, but how much weight should you actually give them?
They can be a good starting point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, take them with a grain of salt. What works for one person might not work for another. Pay attention to patterns. You know, if you see multiple reviews mentioning a therapist's specific approach or personality traits, that can give you some good insights.
It's more about getting a sense of their style and whether it might be a good fit for you. Okay, so you've got some referrals. Maybe some insights from people you trust. What's next?
Don't be afraid to shop around. Most therapists offer a free initial consultation. Think of it as a test drive before you commit to a longer journey with them.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like meeting a personal trainer for the first time. You want to see if their energy and approach vibes with you?
Exactly. You're looking for that sense of connection and trust. During the consultation, don't hesitate to ask questions about their therapeutic approach, their experience with treating depression, even their personality. It's about finding someone you feel comfortable opening up to and being vulnerable with.
Totally. Huh. And what about checking their credentials? How important is that in this whole process?
It's essential. You want to make sure the person you're trusting with your mental health is qualified and licensed to provide treatment in Florida. You know, this isn't just about a piece of paper. It's about peace of mind and knowing you're in good hands.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of practical steps. But I want to circle back to the why behind all of this. Remember those real-life success stories we mentioned at the beginning? Let's hear what people in Sarasota had to say about their journey. One person shared, "I have regained my sense of self." That's pretty powerful.
It really is. Depression can often feel like it's chipping away at your identity, you know, making you question who you are at your core. Hearing someone say they've reclaimed that sense of self, it speaks volumes about the potential for healing and transformation.
And another person said, "I acquired helpful coping mechanisms. It's like they've built a toolbox for navigating life's ups and downs."
Exactly. Treatment isn't just about feeling better in the moment. It's about equipping you with strategies and skills to manage your mental health for the long haul. And these coping mechanisms, they can look different for everyone.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Some people might find peace and mindfulness practices, others in creative expression, still others in connecting with nature. It's about finding what works for you. And that reminds me of something you mentioned earlier about medication. It's about finding the right fit, but isn't there a concern about side effects too? How do you weigh those risks against the benefits?
That's a really important question. It's crucial to have an open and honest conversation with your psychiatrist about any concerns you have about medication, including potential side effects. They can help you understand the risks and benefits of different options and work with you to find a medication that's both effective and well-tolerated.
So it's a collaborative process. You're not just being told what to do. You're an active participant in those decisions.
And what about folks who might be hesitant to try medication at all? Is there a way to explore other options first? Absolutely. There's no one right path here. For some people, therapy alone might be enough, especially if their depression is mild to moderate. Others might benefit from a combination of therapy and medication. The key is to find a treatment plan that feels aligned with your values, your preferences, and your individual needs.
It's about having that sense of control over your mental health journey. And that leads us back to those empowering lifestyle changes we talked about earlier. You know, while therapy and medication address those mental and biological aspects of depression, lifestyle changes tap into that mind-body connection in a really tangible way.
Exactly. It's about recognizing how intertwined our physical and mental health really are. When we nourish our bodies with movement, nutritious food, restorative sleep, we're building a foundation for emotional well-being.
And this is where that taking control piece really comes in. These are things we have a direct influence on. We can choose to go for a walk, cook a healthy meal, prioritize a good night's sleep. It's empowering.
It is. And don't underestimate the ripple effect of those small changes. When you start incorporating those healthy habits into your daily routine, you might notice a difference in your energy levels, your mood, even your perspective on life. It creates a positive feedback loop.
So it's not just about managing depression. It's about building a sense of well-being that kind of radiates outward. And that brings us back to our tool of treatment options in Sarasota. We've covered so much. Counseling, medication, lifestyle changes, support groups. It's clear that there's no single right answer, but rather a whole spectrum of possibilities to explore.
And that's the beauty of it. Recovery isn't a straight line. It's a journey of self-discovery. It's about finding the tools, the resources, the support that resonates with you and helps you reclaim your life.
Okay, we've talked a lot about those external resources, but I want to shift gears a bit and explore something that often gets overlooked when we're struggling with depression, the power of self-compassion.
That's so important. When we're in the thick of it,
yeah,
it's easy to fall into a pattern of self-criticism and negative self-talk.
Mm.
You know, we might blame ourselves for our symptoms or feel like we're not doing enough to get better. And that can be incredibly isolating and demoralizing.
It's like having this inner critic that just never shuts up. So how do we counter that negativity and cultivate more self-compassion?
It starts with awareness.
Yeah.
You know, just noticing those critical thoughts as they come up without judgment. And then gently challenging those thoughts.
Wrong.
Would you say those things to a close friend who is struggling? Probably not. So why are we so hard on ourselves? Like we have this different standard for ourselves.
Right. Yeah. Totally. So instead of saying, I'm a failure, I can't even get out of bed today, we try something like, I'm having a rough time and that's okay. I'm going to be kind to myself. And take things one step at a time.
Yeah, exactly. It's about shifting from that inner critic to an inner cheerleader.
Yeah.
You know.
And what about when we're feeling overwhelmed by like really tough emotions? Sadness, anxiety, hopelessness. How can self-compassion help us deal with those intense feelings?
Self-compassion can be really powerful for that feeling of overwhelm. It's like creating this safe space within yourself to experience those emotions without judging yourself. Instead of trying to push them down or ignore them, we can acknowledge them, validate them, allow ourselves to really feel them.
So if we're feeling super sad, we don't pretend we're not. We let ourselves cry or grieve. Feel the weight of that sadness.
Exactly. And as we do that, we can offer ourselves words of comfort and support. We might say, this is rough, but I'm here for myself. I'm going to get through this.
It's like being your own best friend, you know, offering that same kindness and understanding you'd give to someone you care about. And sometimes self-compassion can be as simple as giving yourself a hug, taking a bath, doing something nice for yourself.
Definitely. It's about recognizing what you need and meeting those needs with care and tenderness. And remember, self-compassion is a practice, not a destination.
Yeah.
It's something we develop over time with patience and gentleness.
That makes a lot of sense. It's not about being perfect. It's about showing up for yourself with kindness, even when things are tough. And I think that's a perfect transition to something we talked about briefly earlier, the role of medication in depression treatment. You mentioned it's not a quick fix, but it helps balance brain chemistry. Can you talk a bit more about that? What's actually happening in the brain when someone's depressed, and how does medication help with that?
So it's this complex interplay of things.
Mm-hmm.
But one key piece is the role of neurotransmitters. Those are the chemical messengers in your brain that transmit signals between nerve cells. And in depression, we often see imbalances in certain neurotransmitters, especially serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. These chemicals play a huge role in regulating mood, sleep motivation, even cognitive function.
So it's not just psychological, it's biological too.
Exactly. And that's where medication comes in antidepressants work, by increasing the availability of these important neurotransmitters in the brain, basically helping to restore that chemical balance. There are different types of antidepressants, each working a little differently. But the goal is to ease those debilitating symptoms and improve your overall well-being.
And we talked about how finding the right medication is really personalized. It's not one size fits all. What are some of the things that go into that decision-making process?
It's a team effort between you and your psychiatrist. They'll look at your specific symptoms, your medical history, any other medications you're taking, even your preferences. Some folks might prefer to start with a medication that has fewer side effects, while others might be more focused on finding something that's super effective. It's all about finding what's best for your unique situation.
And that leads to another big question. What about people who might be hesitant to try medication? Are there other things they can explore?
Of course. There's no right or wrong way here. For some people, therapy alone might be enough, especially if their depression isn't severe. Others might find relief through those lifestyle changes we talked about. And there are also newer therapies, like transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS. It uses magnetic pulses to stimulate certain parts of the brain.
So it's about having that open conversation with your doctor, exploring what's out there, and finding a treatment plan that feels good for you. And that takes us back to something you mentioned earlier, the importance of support groups. Can you talk more about how those groups can create that sense of connection and shared experience?
Depression can often feel really isolating.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to get trapped in those negative thoughts and feel like no one gets it. Support groups offer a safe space where you can connect with others who are going through similar things. It's a chance to share your story, hear from others, and realize you're not alone on this journey.
It's like having a group of people who understand. And a lot of these groups are actually led by professionals.
Right, exactly. And that expertise can be so valuable. They can provide guidance, share coping strategies, and create this structured setting for growth and healing.
So it's more than just a casual get-together. It's a place to learn, connect, and build resilience.
Exactly. That sense of community can make a huge difference in your recovery.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, from understanding how complex depression is to exploring all those different treatment options here in Sarasota. It's been an incredible conversation. And honestly, I'm feeling so hopeful about the possibilities.
Me too. The most important thing to remember is that seeking help, it's brave, it's strong. There, I-S hope. And you deserve to find what works for you.
I love that. And to our listener, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope this gives you the knowledge and the courage to take that next step towards healing and well-being. Remember, you are not alone, and there's a brighter future ahead for you.